Third case of the day, Anderson v. Gulfstream. Mr. Harold?
May it please the Court, Senator Harold, on behalf of the plaintiff appellants, Jeff and Liz Anderson. After Gulfstream moved for partial summary judgment below, the magistrate judge granted summary judgment on all of the Anderson's claims. Now, the magistrate judge did this only by committing several reversible errors, not the least of which was viewing the facts in the light most favorable to Gulfstream and not the Andersons, the party against whom the judge entered summary judgment. Now, I'd like to address first the Andersons' claims under the Indiana Deceptive Consumer Sales Act, and then second, the Andersons' claims under Indiana law for breach of warranty. And on the Indiana Deceptive Consumer Sales Act claim, there's really only one point I want to address, and that's the magistrate judge's erroneous holding that Gulfstream did not, as a matter of law, commit a deceptive act. Now, that holding is erroneous because the RV the Andersons purchased, which Gulfstream had labeled as a 2009 model, was not a 2009 model. It was a 2008 model. And we know it's a 2008 model because discovery in this lawsuit has revealed that that's the way Gulfstream made it. Gulfstream manufactured the Andersons Tourmaster in response to an order for a 2008 model year RV. The Gulfstream built the Andersons Tourmaster during Gulfstream's 2008 model year and in the midst of other 2008 models. The Andersons presented evidence which is undisputed that the three Tourmasters the Gulfstream made immediately prior to the Andersons and the three that Gulfstream made immediately after were Gulfstream all labeled as 2008 models. Now, the Andersons getting a 2008 model instead of a 2009 model was a big deal to the Andersons. And the reason it was a big deal to the Andersons was the reason they purchased the Tourmaster, one of the main reasons was because of the advertised 425 horsepower engine on Gulfstream's website. Now, the Andersons bought this Tourmaster RV because they wanted to go tour the Western United States while Mr. Anderson's health still permitted it. But their current RV they have, which is also a Gulfstream model, a 2008 Crescendo, didn't have a powerful enough engine and would struggle up the mountainous roads in the West. So the Andersons went to Gulfstream's website, they looked at it, and after viewing it, they went and they talked to a Gulfstream dealer, Mike Apple of Royal Gorge. And there, they viewed the website with Mr. Apple, and they saw the one and only engine choice for Tourmasters advertised on that website, which was a 425 horsepower engine. Now, based upon their viewing of that website, the Andersons reasonably thought that that was the engine that they were going to get. But that was not the engine they got, because Gulfstream had labeled the Andersons model as a 2009, when in reality it was a 2008 with the then standard 360 horsepower engine. Now, Gulfstream's main argument on appeal seems to be that the Andersons should have checked. Despite Gulfstream's website showing the one and only engine choice being a 425 horsepower engine, Gulfstream argues that the Andersons should have made sure that that's what they got. Now, Your Honor, that's fundamentally inconsistent with how Gulfstream itself advertises buying a Tourmaster. Now, there's an advertisement in the record. I think it's record 83-2. And in that advertisement, here's how Gulfstream itself talks about the buying process. And this is from Gulfstream's founder, Brian Shea. Quote, "I understand purchasing an RV can be a stressful event. Many manufacturers offer too many different choices. Selecting floor plan arrangements, options, and amenities can often cause undue stress at the dealership and ultimately a more expensive coach. We have taken the time in the design process to make the TourMaster an all-in-one package. By simplifying the buying process, we take the guesswork and stress out of purchasing. That's one quote. Here's another. Quote, TourMaster offers more standard features than any other luxury diesel motorhome, leaving you with a few simple choices. Pick your floor plan, pick your package, pick your day to start living. End quote. The Andersons did exactly what Gulfstream was telling consumers to do. They looked at Gulfstream's website, they saw one engine choice, and they looked at it with their dealer, and based on that, they made the reasonable assumption that the TourMaster model that they were getting was going to have a 425-horsepower engine. And the only reason it didn't is because Gulfstream labeled unsold inventory as the next model year.
What about the disclaimer, Mr. Harrell?
Well, first, there's no evidence that the Andersons ever saw that, which is on the third page of a three-page website printout. But I think calling it a disclaimer is giving it a little too much credit. In fact, it's giving it a lot too much credit. Basically, what that says is it says, for more information on floor plans, contact your dealer, which the Andersons did. They talked with Mike Anderson or Mike Apple of Royal Gorge. And it also says, Gulfstream reserves the right to make changes in the future about the specifications and other characteristics. It didn't say it's limited to prospective changes. It didn't say this website isn't accurate. It says we can make changes in the future. Now, at the time the Andersons viewed the website, which was in August 2008, the evidence in the record is clear. Gulfstream had already labeled the Andersons TourMaster, which only had a 360-horsepower engine, as a 2009, the latest Gulfstream model year. So at the time the Andersons viewed that website, the information on it was inaccurate. There was not one and only engine choice. And this is taking Gulfstream's side, but you know, we believe it's a clear violation of the Anti-Deceptive Consumer Sales Act for Gulfstream to have labeled unsold inventory as new. We think the In Re Mack Trucks FTC decision is very clear. If you're going to go by model year labeling, you have to play by the rules. And the rules are, especially in the instance where you've advertised it to consumers, you have to label model year consistently throughout a model year. And Gulfstream did not do that here. And as a result, they committed a deceptive act.
Refresh my recollection. Are you asking for a trial on the issues?
We think at the very least, the magistrate judge's decision on the Indiana Deceptive Consumer Sales Act, finding that Gulfstream, as a matter of law, did not commit.
Are you looking for a trial on the issues?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
We are. But that'd be acceptable. At the very least, we want the magistrate judge's decision finding a deceptive act, no deceptive act, as a matter of law, reversed. Now, I'd like to turn my attention, unless there's any other questions on the Andersons Deceptive Sales Act claim, I'd like to turn my attention briefly to the Andersons state law breach of warranty claims. And on those claims, the magistrate judge below made three fundamental errors. First, he decided an issue that wasn't raised by either side below. And second, he decided that issue by not looking at the evidence the Andersons presented in the record. And third, in deciding that issue, he came up with a legal standard that simply does not exist. As to the first error, it speaks for itself. None of this was briefed or argued below. On the issue that the magistrate judge decided the Andersons' state law breach of warranty claims was on whether Gulfstream had an opportunity to fix the Andersons' vehicle. That was not argued or briefed below, and for that very reason, it should be reversed. But besides that error, the magistrate judge ignored the Andersons' evidence, which showed Gulfstream had an opportunity to fix the Andersons' tour master. For a five-month period between September 2008 and January 2009, Gulfstream was authorizing and approving warranty claims submitted by the dealer, Royal Gorge. This idea that somehow Gulfstream had 5 days before the Andersons filed suit is simply not supported by the record. In addition, the magistrate judge ignored a clear dispute of fact as to what happened in early February 2009 when Gulfstream's authorized representative, Aaron Drusdo, came down and viewed the tour master. And Mr. Drusdo came down after 5 months' worth of repairs had been done at Royal Gorge, and the evidence in the record from Mike Apple was that even after those 5 months of repairs, many of the problems with the vehicles remained unfixed, and some were unfixable. Mr. Drusdo came down, and according to the testimony of the plaintiff, Jeff Anderson, which the magistrate judge should have credited, Mr. Drusdo saw the tour master and admitted that there were still serious problems with it, and after a few hours of discussion, agreed to have Gulfstream ship parts down to Royal Gorge, the dealership, and have it fixed up. Yet, nothing happened. So this idea, the magistrate judge's decision simply was wrong on the facts, but also it was wrong on the law. Indiana law is clear where a buyer like the Andersons have accepted the goods, giving the seller an opportunity to cure the defects in the product is not a condition precedent to the filing of suit. It's not. The Madison-Moss Act does not change that. The Madison-Moss Act supplements and augments state law remedies. It does not restrict them, and that's clearly set forth in 15 U.S.C. 2311B. I see him into my rebuttal time. For those reasons and the reasons of the Anderson's brief, we'd request that you reverse the magistrate judge's decision below and remand for trial. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Harrell. Mr. Rice?
Good morning. Charlie Rice from South Bend on behalf of Gulfstream Coach, if it may please the court. Magistrate Judge Nectarline got this right. And what he got right was after wading through nearly 900 pages worth of evidence that had been submitted to him as part of the summary judgment briefing, 600 pages of evidence in response to the motion for summary judgment filed by the Andersons and our response, which we turned into a motion for summary judgment on the deceptive act claim. The magistrate was able to look at this and determine there was no genuine issue of material fact on anything. The court's allowed to do that in the Seventh Circuit. More importantly, that recently was made clear by the advisory committee under the 2010 advisory committee notes to 56F. They reaffirmed, made clear, that a district court can find for summary judgment sua sponte on any issue raised on summary judgment, just has to give notice and an opportunity to the parties that he's considering summary judgment. And notice an opportunity in this case was Gulfstream had, in response to the assertion by the Andersons that there was no genuine issue of material fact on the Deceptive Sales Act claim. And that's what they said in their brief. They said there's no issue of material fact on this. We took them at their word, and the court did as well, and looked at it and applied the law to the facts. And in this case, Judge Nectarline went one step further. He held a hearing. And at the hearing, he went through, if you look in our short appendix, we have the transcript of the hearing as it applies to the summary judgment. There was also some discussion regarding Daubert motions. But in the short appendix that we have, the transcript of the hearing, Judge Nectarline went through and said, here are the facts as I understand them. Tell me where I am wrong on these facts. And Mr. Frank Hill, who was counsel at that time, not Mr. Harrell. Mr. Frank Hill only quibbled with one, and that was whether the Andersons really understood that the 360 HP on the MCO, which was given to Mrs. Anderson, was reasonable to understand that it meant horsepower. That's the only fact he quibbled with, and it's a fundamental principle of law that when a court asks a question of counsel and counsel responds, that you can't then on appeal change your mind. Now, in this case, Judge Nectarline even went one step further and allowed the Andersons to submit a brief after the summary judgment hearing correcting misstatement that was made, but they didn't make any change to their agreement with the district court judge as to what the facts were. They made a correction regarding what they thought the holding was in courtesy, but they didn't change anything.
What about this issue of the notice and the reasonable opportunity to cure, which counsel certainly points out that something that he thinks they complied with?
The notice and opportunity to cure issue was addressed in two different ways, uniquely in this case, because notice and opportunity to cure are part of the Deceptive Sales Act, and it's also part of Indiana warranty law. And the Andersons produced evidence. They brought all the evidence they had regarding the opportunity to cure to the court as part of their briefing in the summary judgment and pointed to that evidence, which was Mr. Frank Hill's letter of April 6th to Gulfstream, where he said, come pick it up. The issue of whether Mr. Anderson in January of 2008, I'm sorry, I'm trying to get my years corrected, whether Mr. Anderson in 2009, I'm sorry, indicated to Aaron Drewsdow, go ahead and fix it or not. We've submitted evidence, and we think the court was correct in his inquiry.
Well, wasn't Royal George performing work in the fall of 08 and through January of 09 and forwarding warranty claims to Gulfstream?
Yes.
So Gulfstream had noticed that there were some issues with this and said to... There was some debate in terms of how much it would cost to fix it, but certainly Gulfstream was aware of it.
Gulfstream became aware in December of 2008 regarding the warranty claims. And Royal Gorge had begun, as you indicated, earlier in the fall, done some warranty work. In January, Aaron Drewsdow came out and was there, talked to the Andersons and said, yeah, we'll go ahead and fix it. I want to bring this back to Indiana to fix it at the factory. Jeff Anderson said, no, you're not. I'm not going to do that. Letters were exchanged by counsel. Mr. Frank Hill sent a letter to Gulfstream. Gulfstream responded on March 27th saying, we still want to bring this to Indiana and fix it. April 6th, Mr. Hill said, okay, come pick it up. At that point, once he agreed and said, come pick it up, come fix it, I think everything else, all these factual disputes that are claimed by the Andersons become moot. Because there's no question at that point that the intended notice and opportunity to cure process that is contemplated by Magnuson Moss, by the UCC, and by Indiana law was going to work, because at that point, Gulfstream had the opportunity to cure, the opportunity to come and fix it. And that's what we want in the law. But what happened is, 7 days later, Mr. Hill dropped a complaint in the mail before Gulfstream could have a reasonable opportunity to fix or attempt to fix this RV. And I think that's what the district court seized upon. And that it's a fact which is very difficult to get around in light of the law under the Deceptive Sales Act and the UCC and Magnuson Moss. If you're going to sue us because something doesn't work, you have to give us notice and the opportunity to fix it before you can bring us into court. And that's essentially what the magistrate judge was able to seize upon. Now, with regard to the Mack truck issue and the model year issue, one of the things that was raised by the Andersons in their reply brief was a claim that there's a federal regulation that some provision in the Federal Register had somehow taken the Mack truck case and made it the law of the land. However, if you look at the introductory language of that citation in the Federal Register, it says, this is not a rule, this is not a regulation, this is an interpretation. It has no binding effect upon Gulfstream. What is the law, and what the Andersons concede, is that under the CFR, when there is a Freightliner chassis shipped to them, which is a 2007, Gulfstream can either make that model a 2008 or a 2009. The magistrate judge agreed with it. That was the understanding of Tony Sutton at Gulfstream. And that was consistent with what was published by the RV Association in terms of the industry guidelines. Now, the Andersons assert that's a clear error of law. Well, whether it's a clear error of law, I'll leave to you. But what's important under the Indiana Deceptive Sales Act and Indiana law for fraud is you can't be found guilty because of a mistake of law. If Tony Sutton, and having read through all of these federal regulations and the CFRs on this issue, it's a morass. But if Tony Sutton, in reading through that, came to the wrong conclusion about whether Gulfstream could designate this RV as a 2008 or a 2009 as a mistake of law, he's not liable under Indiana law. And to the extent that the magistrate judge was incorrect, it's still evidence that this is a mistake of law, which is not grounds for finding Gulfstream liable under the Deceptive Sales Act or fraud. Now, with regard to the warranty claims, what's important to remember is that the case cited by the Andersons, the AMCO case, saying that there's no, under Indiana law, there's no reasonable opportunity to cure, was not a UCC case. They didn't analyze the opportunity to cure under 6073A. That was simply a repair. It wasn't a UCC case. And it's clear under the UCC and under all of the law prior to the UCC, as we cited to Judge Hand in our brief, that the commercial law anticipates that if you sell a product, before someone can bring you to court and sue you on a warranty, they got to give you a chance to fix it and make it right. Gulfstream was willing to do that. The Andersons never gave them the opportunity to do what they wanted, which was to bring the coach back to Indiana and fix it.
Well, wasn't there I just want to check on that, on some of these dates to make sure I have the dates straight, because we went over this fact that Royal George was doing repairs between September of 08 and January of 09. And then in January of 09, the Andersons' lawyer wrote to Gulfstream. And they gave notice that a lawsuit would be filed within the next 60 days, early the next month. Bruce Doe, a representative of Gulfstream, visited Royal George to inspect it, and there was some quibbling done about how much it would cost. And then in March of 07, March 27th, more than 60 days after the Andersons' January letter to Gulfstream, Gulfstream sent a letter extending the warranty and then saying that it would repair it. So there was some time.
If I can correct the court, just with
maybe I have those dates off.
One date, which I think is right. Your sequence, I think, is correct. The Anderson's attorney letter was sent on January 23rd, 2009. Aaron Drusow went out there in January. It wasn't February, but he went out in January of 2009, 5 days after the Anderson's attorney sent their letter. So it was a pretty quick response, and he said, I want to bring this back to Indiana. And what we cited, too, was Jeff Anderson's affidavit, not his deposition testimony, which is kind of murky, but his affidavit where he said he wanted to bring it back to Indiana, and as far as I was concerned, no.
Yeah, but then after 2 or 3 hours, Drusow agreed that he would work with Mike Apple at Royal George to get the joists fixed, and they would ship the new windows and all these other things, and pretty much they got 2 or 3 windows, and then nothing happened.
Well, what happened is, if you remember, Mike Apple was told by Jeff Anderson not to do any work on the coach, and Mike Apple was clear, if he had asked me to do any work, I would have done the work. And so the opportunity that Gulfstream had, in any event, was made clear in April of 2009. And remember, reasonable opportunity implies more than one. It's at least two times to try and fix it, was when the Andersons agreed, come pick up the coach and take it to Indiana. We never got the chance. Thank you.
And I just had a quick question. Are you the son of Charles Rice?
I am.
All right. He was my torts professor at Notre Dame.
He was mine.
Thought so.
I assumed
he was better than I did, Judge. He was one of my favorite professors. I just had to say that and disclose that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rice. Mr. Harrell.
Your Honor, just a couple of quick points. First, the fact that we're even arguing over opportunity to cure and notice shows that there's a fact issue on those and that the Andersons should have gotten a jury trial on their warranty claims. And the second point is Gulfstream says, we made a mistake, and even if the federal regulations said we couldn't label this, it was a mistake. Well, that should be for the jury to determine. And, I mean, personally, I can't reasonably believe any manufacturer could think it could designate unsold old inventory as new when it's advertising something different to consumers. And then one last point. The Andersons did what any reasonable consumer would have done in this situation. They had problems with their vehicle, and they took it immediately to the dealership from where they bought it. The dealership did 5 months of repair work, and the problems didn't get fixed. So the Andersons have sued Gulfstream, who warranted the product. The magistrate judge's decision leaves the Andersons with an unfixed RV and no remedy. For that reason, the magistrate judge's decision should be reversed, in this case, remanded for trial. Thank you.
Thanks, Sir Harold. Thanks to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement. The court will